some things. Thank you. I want to read from Joshua 14, verses 6 to 14. Let's give heed to the reading of God's word. A delegation came from the tribe of Judah, led by Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite. They came to Joshua at Gilgal. Caleb said to Joshua, "Remember what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, about you and me when we were at Kadesh Barnea? I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land of Canaan. I returned and gave an honest report. But my brothers who went with me frightened the people from entering the promised land. For my part, I wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. So the day Moses solemnly promised me the land, that day the Lord promised me, Moses promised me, the land of Canaan on which you were just walking will be your grant of land and that of your descendants forever, because you wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. Now, as you can see, the Lord has kept me alive and well, as he promised for all these 45 years since Moses made this promise. Even while Israel wandered in the wilderness, today I am 85 years old. I am as strong now as I was when Moses sent me on that journey. And I can still travel and fight as well as I could then. So give me the hill country that the Lord promised me. You will remember that as scouts we found the descendants of Anak living there in great walled city towns. But if the Lord is with me, I will drive them out of the land, just as the Lord said. So Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave Hebron to him as his portion of land. Hebron still belongs to the descendants of Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, because he wholeheartedly followed the Lord, the God of Israel." Well, the end of one year and the beginning of another, it gives us a opportunity to look back and to look ahead. The news media is filled by recounting the top stories of the year, and that's always interesting. Some of them positive, some of them negative. And then the news media also gives projections and predictions about the coming year. There's some good news in Canada on that score. I saw one poll indicated that Canadians, on average, are a little bit more optimistic about the year 2013 than they were about 2012. Last year, at the beginning of the year, about 64% of Canadians polled said they were modestly optimistic about the financial and economy for 2012. Well, this year, that has bounced up to 70% of Canadians, so there's an increase of 6 percentage points. Unfortunately, in BC, we're not quite so optimistic. Last year, only 54% thought they were going to have a good year in 2012, but that has gone up by 11 percentage points, so we're now at 65% of British Columbians feel somewhat positive about the future. Well, the truth of the matter is, there's nothing we can do about most of the things that are going to happen in the world. We can't control what the World Bank does, what the European Union does, or what the United States does, or what the government in Ottawa does. For the most part, we can't control, and yet we're affected by all these things. The only thing we can control is our attitude and our reaction and our actions. And that's what we want to focus on here today. The story we've read is Caleb standing at a threshold of life. He's just ready to take possession of the land which God promised him. And here we have this tremendous example of a man who's so faith-filled, and you can't beat his testimony. When he says, "I look back and I can say I wholeheartedly followed the Lord." What a testimony to give. And I don't think he's claiming to have been perfect, but he said, "You know, I did the best I could," and that's all that can be expected. And so I think that would be a, a great motto for us in the coming year to say, let's at least do our best. Let's reach for that wholeheartedly following the Lord. And the overarching theme of my thought, you can face the future with confidence if you're filled with faith. And so God wants us to choose to have faith for every area of life. And I have four statements that I want to make that come out of the story of Caleb. And if we embrace these four statements, I think it will help us to have this faith-filled approach to the future like Caleb did. Well, you can see why I'm drawn to this story. Because here's an 85-year-old guy who's still vibrant and filled with energy and optimistic about the future. Now, that is profoundly inspiring for a 71-year-old guy. So we always look for models ahead that are still got some energy and think of a roadmap ahead. And so I'm inspired by this story, and I hope you will be too. And so here are four statements that will help us to face the future with confidence. Number one. You can face the future with confidence if you have faith to choose to overcome adversity. A New Testament text there, 2 Corinthians 1:6. So when we are weighed down with troubles or adversity, it is for your benefit and salvation. For when God comforts us, it is so that we in turn can be an encouragement to you or to others. Another New Testament text about adversity, James 1, 2, and 3. Dear brothers and sisters, whenever troubles come your way, let it be an opportunity for joy. For when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Adversity is a fact of life. And no matter which area of life you're talking about, which venture or which career or what undertaking you engage in, you will face adversity. And we have to learn to overcome adversity. It's certainly the story of most athletes, most sports people that excel in sports will tell you about adversity. Well, I mentioned the Seahawks last week. That's the only big game we got going in this part of the world. And today, about 6,000 or 7,000 Canadians are on their way from the Lower Mainland to Seattle to the stadium there for the game, which starts at 1:30, I think. And so I was wondering last week whether they would match their 50 points. They had scored 50 or more points for two games in a row. Well, last week, Russell Wilson fell short. He only scored 42 points, but the opposition only scored 13, so it still was a decisive victory for them. And who knows what will happen this afternoon. But the sidebar story of last week centered around Richard Sherman. Richard Sherman was under a cloud because he had been charged with using performance-enhancing drugs. And so they issued a suspension, and he was not supposed to play last game, but he appealed the suspension, and that allowed him to play last week. And so the interviewers were rushing to him, and Ian McIntyre, Vancouver Sun, quoted Sherman as having this to say when they asked him, how did you feel about all this uncertainty around you, and how did it affect you? Well, here's what he said. He says, I'm from the inner city. I'm from a bad place. Adversity is always something you have in your life. You must meet it head on. I've done it my whole life, and this is just another opportunity. Well, that was quite an attitude from, and he had, I'm not going to review what he did because I can't remember exactly what he all did, but I know he scored one touchdown when someone blocked a field goal and he ran it back and made some interceptions and some other heroic things. But the idea of adversity is part of life, and how we handle adversity will determine, really, the quality of our life. The quality of our life is not determined by what happens to us. The quality of our life is determined by how we respond to what happens to us. And Caleb has had his share of adversity. Now, I'm speculating a little bit here, but I think you'll see it's reasonable speculation. I think Caleb will have been subjected to a certain amount of racial discrimination and prejudice because Caleb was not a bloodline Jew. His father was Jephunneh the Kenizzite. Well, when you read the story of Abraham, when he gets to Canaan, to the first where God promised the land of Canaan, the Kenizzites are one of the Arab tribes there. And so Jephunneh evidently has converted to Judaism. And God, right from the beginning, made it possible for people who are outside the blessed covenant nation to come in as proselytes. God always wants people to enjoy his blessing. And so as today, he invites everyone to come to faith in Jesus, so even in the Old Testament. And so God is far more gracious and loving, even though God fully accepted Jephunneh and Caleb into the people of God. People are often not quite as generous and gracious and loving as God is. Now, that's an interesting point to me as I was thinking about this. A lot of people think that they are more loving than God. And see, God has these rules, but if I was in charge, but that's not true. There's no person that's more loving than God, because God is the perfection of love. And God is more generous than any one of us. And so when we get to know God, we realize that he has a wonderful plan of blessing for us, and none of us can match that. But so Caleb has had adversity. He was in the leadership corps in Israel as they're wandering around, and staff meetings for the leadership team was never fun for the people who were trying to govern this motley crew of a million plus rebels, and they were always grumbling and complaining. So every staff meeting was just, you know, which is the biggest problem that we have to tackle? And so there was adversity galore for every leader that's trying to lead the nation Israel. And then there's one little sidebar thing about Caleb, and that was his name, Caleb, means dog. Now, I don't know why a parent would call a kid, put that tag on a kid. So you know he was bullied. You know, so here's Caleb. He's come, and when he brought the report back from the promised land, it was spurned. They said, we're not going to follow your report. And you can imagine how he felt about that. He knew it was the right thing. So adversity has been part of his life, and it's part of every one of our life, but he has not let that adversity destroy him. Many people facing that kind of adversity, they'd be bitter. They'd be discouraged. They'd be filled with resentment and hatred and self-pity. They might have a victim mentality. Within the last 2 weeks, I had a conversation with a person not associated with Coast Hills Church, nor Grace Point Church, for that matter. So you wouldn't know this person, but a person my age, and this person had a story something like this. She said, you know, nothing has ever worked out for us, for our family. It just hasn't. Other people, it seems to work out, but not for us. What worked for other people didn't work for us. And it's not working for my kids either. So we just feel that we have to accept it. It's just not going to work out for us. And I'm just sitting there. I said, wait a minute. I felt like saying, do you know my story? Do you know the things that didn't work out so great for me? And so this person had this victim mentality. And I felt sorry for that person. Yes, some people facing adversity, they just succumb to it. And they accept it as an excuse for being demotivated to overcome it. And they use it as an excuse for mediocrity or failure. And so God wants us here to draw strength from him. I don't know what adversity you're feeling, but there's going to be adversity. If you're not facing adversity right now, there's going to be adversity in your life. And God wants you to know that he's going to be with you. We cannot choose the problems that are going to fall into our path. Can't choose it. Well, I guess once in a while we create problems. My wife Diane sometimes shares some Facebook wisdom with me, and recently she said she was reading on the from somebody had posted that everything happens for a reason, and that's an oft-quoted statement, right? This person had written, everything happens for a reason, but sometimes the reason is our own stupidity. And that there's something profound about that. Well, sometimes we bring, but for the most part, we cannot choose the difficulty that's going to fall into our path. But we do know that God wants to offer us grace, that whatever falls into our path, He can help us. And we can grow through it. And so we don't have to, respond in all these negative ways. And Caleb is an example for it. And it's amazing to me that Caleb, as a proselyte to the Judaism, or his father was, that he would rise right to the top in the tribe of Judah. And when they were looking for some outstanding candidate to go spy out the land, they say, have you noticed Caleb? I mean, he's just a leader, and he's such a positive guy. He's the right person. We can trust him. And so he overcame all this adversity. So let's face the future with confidence, because we're going to say, no matter what happens, we're going to receive God's grace to learn from it, to grow through it, and to move forward. The second statement that we have here is, you can face the future with confidence if you have faith to live by the rule, faith to live by the rule of conscientiously fulfilling your responsibility. And that's what Joshua did. He had marked himself as being an honest guy, and when he came back, there was a majority report and a minority report. And Joshua faithfully fulfilled his responsibility. See, when we are conscientious about doing our duties, doing our part, our responsibility, we're being diligent, if we're honest, it relieves us of a lot of stress. If you're cheating, if you're cutting corners, and if you're not fulfilling your responsibility, then you always have to worry about, when will it catch up with me? And I think it's an important lesson for us to be fulfill our responsibilities. The news in the CBC News has the segment Go Public segment. I don't know if Diane and I often watch CBC News, and the Go Public segment was recently, a couple of weeks ago, about a budget rent-a-car in Vancouver. The budget rent-a-car had a policy of cheating people, and they rewarded their employees for cheating people, charging them for extra things which weren't there. And I was just thinking, wow, how would you like to be that company? And the name of the guy who owned that franchise was there several nights. I think for night after night, they are just giving this negative report. But it underscores the point that if you live with dishonesty, it's going to catch up with you. There is no confidence about the future if you don't live with honesty. And that's all areas are, in your business or in your marriage. You know, and there we think about the high cost of being unfaithful in marriage. Just this week, in the last few days, I read that former Prime Minister Berlusconi from Italy was awarded his wife alimony, and the alimony that his former wife is going to get is $130,000 per day. That's like a $14 million annual. So to me, that was underscoring the high cost. You know, having an affair in marriage never makes any sense whatsoever. Because when you weigh it out, I mean, it is profoundly stupid. I can't think of a better word to think of it. It is, and that really goes for all sin. Sin is stupid, because it robs us of God's best, and it brings misery into our lives. And so, but when we are diligent, when we're honest, when we're faithful, we give an opportunity for God's blessing to be released in us. The National Post the other day on the business page, a big topic was integrity, and an article on the importance of businesses following a rule of integrity. So anyway, so here's the rule. Let's be honest, let's be diligent, and let's experience. Then we can move forward with confidence. Romans 12:11 says, never be lazy in your work, but serve the Lord enthusiastically. And when we are diligent, it releases a sense of joy and peace and confidence in us. Statement number three, you can face the future with confidence if you have faith to keep nurturing a vision of a positive future. Here I have to go to the New King James Version. Some of your hearts might be warmed by mentioning King James Version. Well, there it is. King James Version, here's what I wanted. Now therefore, give me this mountain. That's the phrase. I love that phrase. Give me this mountain. That's Caleb. And when they're at the border of the promised land, and Joshua's dishing out the territory, and Caleb says, give me that mountain, the mountain of Hebron. And it's a bold statement for Caleb to say, give me this mountain, on several counts. Number one, it's going to take a lot of energy. And so the question was, Caleb, are you realizing you're 85 years old? Do you have the energy to climb that mountain and to possess that mountain? That's going to take a lot of energy. And the other question was, Caleb, you're 85 years old. This is a long-term project. This isn't a short-term investment. This is a long-term real estate investment with huge development costs associated with it. Are you up to it? Yes, he is. He says, I am. You know, it occurs to me that a lot of people, when they're that old, they don't buy green bananas, never mind making a long-term real estate investment. But he makes that long-term real estate investment because he has the future. He sees beyond the mountain. He sees what's going to happen. He sees him, and a legacy that's going to lay for the people. The best real estate is his. He's been there. He's seen it. And he looks beyond the price that he's going to have to pay to possess it. And so my question to you here today is, have you got a positive vision for your life, for this year, and for the future? Now, we could cast this mountain positively and negatively, and I want to make both applications. I want you to ask yourself the question, is there perhaps some mountain? Jesus used it as an obstacle. He says, in prayer, he says, if you pray to this mountain, be cast into the sea. In other words, get it out of the way. And so, negatively, maybe there's a mountain, a negative, big negative obstacle in your path that's keeping you from enjoying the full measure of God's blessing in your life. Whether that is a sinful habit or lifestyle, and you just know it doesn't honor God, and it just seems like a mountain. I'm going to ask you here today, just claim it. Say, give me this mountain. Maybe it's a troubled marriage and you've almost given up on and it seems like having a happy marriage it seems like an impossibility to you. I urge you today, let's just say, give me this mountain, Lord. I'm going to conquer it. I'm going to overcome the obstacle that's there that's keeping you. Maybe the mountain is worry. You're just fraught with worry and you just need to surrender this mountain to God. Maybe this mountain is messed up finances. You're in debt and you can hardly visualize getting out of debt. It's very troubling to me to hear younger people saying, well, we'll never get our mortgage paid off. And I say, don't give up on paying off your mortgage. You need to just say, it can be done. Whatever mountain there lies in you, start at it. Don't surrender to it. Overcome it. Or maybe the mountain is some big goal that you had for your life, but you've kind of given up on that goal. A goal of serving God or a goal of having a career that's more suited to your passions and to your ability and requires more education. And it seems like a mountain and you just have kind of given up on that goal. No, with Caleb, I'm asking you to say, give me this mountain. By God's grace, I'm going to move forward. And when we start paying the price, God gives us grace and helps us. Yes, we can move forward with confidence if we have a clear vision of the mountain. Now, a clear vision of what needs to be removed and tackle it, or a clear vision of a positive goal toward which we're going to outline the steps and move toward. May God give us that vision. May God give us clarity to see the mountains, the ones that need to be removed, and the ones that need to just be embraced that are positive ones. We have a sense of confidence when we have a clear vision of that future. The fourth statement I want to leave with you is, you can face the future with confidence if you have faith to keep walking humbly with God day by day. So let's not get tired of doing, this is the New Testament text here, let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Caleb was a superhero. Under analysis, it seems to me that superheroes often are very ordinary people, but their genius lies in their persistence, in their perseverance, in their endurance, in their never giving up. And so God wants us to have this walking humbly with God, never giving up. Just keep going. I want to share a little story, and that will lead us into the conclusion. 11 years ago, it was in the first week of January, at Panorama Community Church, Diane and I were invited spontaneously to the platform during the announcement time, and we didn't know what was happening. And at that announcement time, we were awarded two passes, sponsors' exemptions to run in the Boston Marathon. It had always been Diane's dream to run the Boston Marathon. And I was okay. I figured, fine, if we get to run it, fine. No big deal for me. But here we are. Here we stand on the platform, and the Adidas Canada rep, who was part of our congregation, had managed to get two passes for us to get sponsors' exemption to run the 2002 Boston Marathon. I was 60 years old, and at that moment, when I got that pass, I was in a bad spot physically because I hadn't run for over a month. And the Boston Marathon was only 3 months away. And so the question is, how am I going to get ready for the Boston Marathon, which we both embraced that we would run? Well, here's what I came up with. I said, okay, I have several rules. I could preach a whole sermon on lessons I learned from that marathon, but I'm just going to give you a little snippet here. One of the rules is you have to start where you are. You can't start from a different space than where you are. And that's a good lesson for you. Whatever application, you can't change your situation. I had to start where I was, and then I decided I'm going to do something every day to prepare for that marathon. Now, I wasn't going to run every day, but I was going to do something every day. And sometimes it was just eating healthily, trying to shed some weight. I gained some weight, so here I was, a little, you know, just feeling out of shape completely and trying to get going. So I did something every day. Sometimes it's reading an inspirational story to get me psyched up and not to give up. And I had all kinds of adversity in my training. And when you're training for a marathon, overtraining is worse than undertraining, because that's when you really can get injuries. Anyway, the race day came. We're in Boston, and it's an unforgettable experience. We start out, and someone told me that when it comes to marathons, crossing the start line is success. And I kind of like that, you know, to get started. So it took us about 10 minutes to get to the start line, and then we ran the race, and 5 hours and 10 minutes later, I crossed the finish line of the Boston Marathon. And I don't know if I've ever been more relieved in my whole life than I was to get across that finish line, to say, yes, I ran the Boston. I've got a certificate to show it. Oh, yes, and Diane, she beat me by 15 minutes. And that's kind of a picture of a marriage when it comes to adventure. She's always way ahead of mine. My life would be so boring without Diane's adventuresome spirit and getting me into all this kind of excitement. So if you see her, she's out in the children's department. When you pick up your kids, just congratulate her and say, way to go beating your old man husband on his in that marathon. So here's the thought. I decided there was a slogan I came up with to motivate me. Energy directed consistently toward a goal results in progress. And so, doing something every energy directed consistent will result in progress. There were many days I felt I was making no progress at all. In fact, I thought I was going back. But energy directed consistently toward a goal will result in progress. And so here's my final thought for you. I'm going to invite you to covenant with me that each one of us are going to do something every day this year, the new year, to nurture our faith in our relationship with God. Do something. Something and identify it and celebrate it. You know, go on a daily Bible reading program. And there's lots of apps, online apps that can help you, that can remind you, and verses can pop up. And I have to go back. The person I got my iPhone from said, was a Christian girl. She says, oh, there's an iPhone that has a thought and a verse for the day. If you got to know. She said, well, come back another time. We'll put it on for you. And I have to go back and get her to put that app on there. Well, maybe I'll be able to find it myself. There are so many resources. Do something every day. Pray and commit yourself to God. And if we do something every day, energy directed consistently toward a goal will result in progress. And you will have a confidence that you cannot get in any other way. But the confidence of walking with God. The possession of the whole of the promised land is a picture of the Christian life. You know, when Israel went into the promised land, it was incremental and progressive. You don't get there in one step. Don't give up. If you've committed your life to Christ and you're getting started and you feel that you can't manage it, you know, just keep moving. It's one step at a time. Let's do something every day to nurture our relationship with God. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you that you speak to us, you guide us, and you want to bless us, and there are blessings for each one of us in the new year that lies ahead. Help us, Lord, to reach out for that blessing every day and to thank you for that blessing and to grow in faith and to be a blessing to one another. Help us as a church, Lord, to see the mountain that you want us to claim. And then to do just to humbly walk with you day by day and watch you unfold it for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. The worship team is going to come and give us a set. They're already here. Thanks, Greg. God bless you.